So you want to acquire an animal, and there's a wild animal that there's owner list. It was owned by a convert, and the convert died, and nobody took over. It's the perfect horse. And the question is, if you go and you decide to ride it, does that make you the owner? Does riding now? We've come apparently pulling the bridle, pulling the animal along in the marketplace. That's how you show ownership when you have the reins and you pull it along. That's what we call manhik. But the question is, what about this rochav? Does that riding a horse, does that make you the owner or not? And so we had two opinions about that, and we're trying to prove if any of the opinions are right or not. Now, if somebody gives it to you and you're riding it and they give you the bridle, so that seems like that would work. The real question is, if there's nobody to give it to you and you just hop on, and then the question is hopping on the horse the same as being in the wagon? Or being in the wagon is even less because you're very inactive. You're just sitting there. What about when you hop on the horse? You're a little bit more taking control. And so all of those are what we're going to finish up with now before the so we're going to start about a paragraph up on Chesamad Beis 8b Meisvei. And again, the question is on the opinion that said that riding doesn't do the trick. As far as making a kinyan, showing if there's an you're acquiring it. And the difference is, if someone else makes the better kinyan and he gets there first, then he got it and not you. So Hayushnaim Rokvin Al Gabi Behema, we learned in our Mishnah that if there's two riders, then they split it. So money, who is that? Ilam Rav Meir. If it's going like Rav Meir said, Hashta Yoshev Koni Rokav Mi Boy. He said, even if you're sitting in the wagon. So obviously, there's no need to even tell you that if you're riding it, it's good. You can just be sitting along for the ride, and that shows, that makes the kinyan. El Elav Rabbanan, we're going like the Rabbanan. Vishmamina, and we see from here, Rochav Kani, that even riding does the trick. So our Mishnah seems to point that out. So the Gemara answers, not necessarily. There's two kinds of riders. There's an inactive rider, and there's a rider, Hakamaiskin Bamanig Baraglov, who's also steering with his feet. In other words, it's not just that you're sitting on the top of that horse. If the horse goes in one direction, you're using your foot to, move it. I don't know if it's your foot or your thighs or whatever, but you're, by steering it, you're showing that it's yours. When you just sit on it, you have
passenger.
A passenger, right.
So, he would have the reins, though. The guy leading the horse wouldn't have the reins if you're steering it, though, right?
This case isn't talking about that there's a guy leading.
So there's just one guy that's on the horse.
Just one guy on the horse. I don't even know if there are reins. Maybe it's like a wild horse. But we're saying that as long as he's not just sitting there as a passenger, but he's actually doing, leading it with his feet, so then that's why this works. And so this doesn't prove in a case where he's just sitting there that it would work. So the Gemara says,
another example of Mashiach.
Sort of.
You can Moshiach it with your thighs or your legs or whatever. I mean, that's how you Moshiach it.
Yeah. Well, the question is, what exactly is Manig? Yeah, that Rashi says Mashiach. You're right, Richard. Thank you. Let's take a look at that Rashi, four lines to the bottom. But Manig Baragla, the Kenia b'Mashiach. If you use your feet, your kona, you acquire it by moving it. Shaboyit b'Baragav. He says you kick it with your feet. V'halechas machmaso, and it's going because of you. In other words, you have to make the animal go, is what Rashi's saying. If you're just sitting on it, you're not making the animal go. You're just sitting there. But if you give it a kick and make it go. So that's, as Richard said, that's a meshicha. Meshicha means you move the animal. Moving something shows ownership, and then everybody would agree that it works. Okay. The Gemara says, but then it's repetitive because then it's the same as manig. It's the same as the guy leading it. Who cares if you lead it by pulling it or whatever, or grabbing it, or if you sit on top of it and you lead it by using your feet? So Gemara said, you're right, but trey gavna manik. That it's coming to tell you there's two ways to steer a cow, two ways to steer a horse or whatever kind of animal, the camel whatever it is. One is by leading it in the front, and the other is by hopping on and, you know, using your feet. So Ma'udetema. So what does it come to teach us? I would have thought Rochev Adif, that maybe the rider is even a when you have two people and one is riding it and steering it, and the other guy's just pulling on the front, that he's actually better than the puller. Kamash Balan, that they're equal. Until now, the best way to acquire it was to lead it along. If you go to the shopping center and somebody's pulling an animal, he's the boss. It's his animal. By pulling it and it walks, that's always been. But over here, this guy is not only directing it, he's sitting on it. So you might have thought if one is pulling and one is sitting, so it's coming to tell you that they're equal. If the two of them come, that they'll have an equal claim. Yeah.
You know what, Rabbi? So you want one little comment that usually there's only going to be one set of straps. Either the guy on the sitting on it's going to be holding the reins, or if the guy's leading it, he's got the reins, and the guy sitting on it is just sitting on it. He's not holding the reins.
Correct. But the guy who's sitting, even though he's not holding the reins, as Rashi said, by kicking it, it moves. If you know how to run the animal, when you sit on it, it sounds like you're able to make the, and that's considered meshicha, because by kicking it, it's going to go under your force.
So I
think what you're pointing out is good, that it's not that each one of them has a rein. It could be the guy in front has the rein, but the guy sitting on it, by using his feet, he's accomplishing the same thing.
Or it can even override.
Right, or even overrides. Yes, so the question is, who's the animal going to listen to? If he's tugging one way and the guy in the sitting there is the...
Hubbing and controlling.
I was just going to add one thing. I don't know, just idea. There's like minhag olam, so to speak, on how to lead an animal. Okay, I mean, you could also pull its tail for that matter, or you could pull its leg. Mm-hmm. There's a standard way to be Moshech an animal, and that would be probably the way to be the case. If you got two people, even three people who are pulling in different directions, you know, there's one doing the normal way and one the worldly accepted way to do it, and another way, like out of left field kind of way. Do we go in one direction or the other?
So very good. So we're going to talk about it a little bit. So a little bit of this discussion is coming up. So Tashma, come in here. So it's really part of our discussion now whether riding on the animal is a kinyan, and we had quoted an opinion that it wasn't, and so we're trying to see if that opinion will hold up to scrutiny. Tashma, shnayim shayim moshkim begamel. Two people are doing the pulling thing by a camel, and there's another word used by the donkey. It's called menahigin. It's similar. And not pulling. Menag means like directing it. In Hebrew they have different words for different things that are done with different animals. The technique is slightly different. I've never led a camel or have led a donkey, so I can't tell you how you would differ leading a camel from leading a donkey, but there's a different Hebrew word for it. So you're Moshek a gomel and you're Manig a donkey. Or if one of them was Moshek, Ve'achad Manig, Babina Zoskone, as we turn the page, this would work. Reb Yehuda says, no, lo lam lo kona. He says, a little bit like what Richard was saying, that you got to use the normal method. Ashdei Meshika b'gomel, v'anhaga b'chamor. It's got to be the donkey needs to be pulled, and the camel needs to be pulled, and the donkey needs to be led. So Tanimia, but what do we see from that discussion? She'echan Moshek ve'echan Manik. It tells us that you can acquire it either by leading it or by steering it. But Moshek u'manigin, you pull it or you steer it. Avo rochav lo. It left off acquiring it by riding it. So this seems to indicate that that's not a valid way to make a kinyan. So the Gemara says you can't infer that. Who then? It could even be a filu rochav. Even had you sat on it, it's good. Why do we not list it? V'haduk tani moshech umanik. The reason we listed both of those two methods, excluding Rabbi Yehuda, who said it's got to be the most common method. Ashite meshika begamlan hagav b'chamor kamash malan da filu ipchanami. Even if you did a slightly awkward way of doing it by the wrong animal, it still works. So then the Mora said, if that's really the pshat, shouldn't it larvinu, it should have put the two together, v'lisninu, shnayim, shayim, moshkim, nadhikin. two people who either are pulling or steering. Bein begamol, bein bechamor. So why didn't it say it that way? So the Gemara answered, there is a one thing that everybody agrees won't work. Ika chad sad lo kanu. Which one is it? Ika diami. Some people say, try pulling a donkey. It ain't going nowhere. You know, it just doesn't go. The ika diami. Some people say, an hugga begamol. Or trying to do an hugga with a camel. So probably more of a practical thing. What works for one creature isn't, each creature has a way that moves it. And so if you really use the wrong focus on the other animal, it's not automatically going to do what you want. You have to know how each creature, what the best way is. Now, also the idea is it probably moves a little bit, but each animal has a naturally better way to get it to go. And some people, they ask this question from the second part. Bemidazos kona. This works. Bemidazos, only this. What does we come exclude? My love, lamute rokov, excluding riding. Riding won't work. So Morris says, no, not necessarily. Lo, lamute ipka. It's just telling you that you got to use the normal way, not switching around. So then the Morris says, Ihachi, isn't that the same as Reb Yehuda, who said you got to do it the normal? Ika benayu tzadecha de lo kona. There's one way which you can't do it the abnormal way, which won't work. Which one is it? Meshicha b'chamur. Try pulling the donkey. He's going to kick you. I don't know if it's because he's going to kick you or he won't budge, but it won't work. Or you try to do the anhaga method on the camel. The bottom line is we didn't prove that we're excluding riding, so we're back to Tashma territory. Is that, again, there's a better way to do it, but that's not what the guy did. The guy sat himself on it. Does that acquire it or not? It's a tashma. Let's try again. Echad rocha of chamor, v'echad tovus v'mesira. Whether you're the one riding the donkey or you're holding our bridle. Zekona chamor v'zekona b'mesira. If you hold the donkey, you get the donkey. You hold the bridle, you get the bridle. Shma mina rocha of koni. So clearly it says riding it does the trick. So Gemara says, who said that he was only riding it? Maybe here also, but mani b'raglav. He was doing the feet thing. You kind of have to know, was he just sitting there, you know, or was he actively, that's, you know, I remember the first, when you learn how to do a horseback riding, so you can't just sit there. You have to learn how to be involved, you know, to get it to do what you want it, you know, or the, so that's that manig baraglov. We don't really know what the case was. So Morris says, Ihachi nik nanami racha b'misira. So then the rider should also get part of the bridle if he's actually leading it. So the Gemara says, you're right. He gets the donkey and half the bridle, and the other one gets the other half. So Bishlema Rokov Kani, I understand why the guy riding, he's going to get the bridle, de Baviale Bendas. Because he's picking it up. The other guy's holding the bridle, and he's holding the donkey. Ela Tofus Vemesira. But the guy holding the bridle, he's not really picking it up. See, when you make the donkey move, you're making all the apparatus, all the bridle move too. But if you're just holding it, how do you get it? So, but my koni, so aim is that koni kamur v'kulu, so masura. So maybe you're right. Maybe the guy that gets the donkey and moves it, he gets the donkey and the rest of the bridle. V'zeh kona, and the other guy just gets what's in his hand. Whatever he happened to be holding on to. So basically what happened was there's a donkey with a bridle and two people come running to acquire it. One guy jumps on the back of the donkey and makes it move. The other guy grabbed onto the bridle. So the guy that grabbed the bridle, he's not going to acquire the donkey, but at least he'll acquire the part of the bridle that he grabbed. Yeah, Steve.
The head of the donkey.
Yeah. Are we assuming when these people do it, that they're doing it get it a hold of it before someone else had? In other words, what if the person punches the guy in the nose and takes the reins away from them or knocks him off the horse and then he gets on the horse? What if the people don't use civilized ways to do it?
Well, still the question is who acquired it first? So in other words, what if the other guy is trying to get it and you trip him? You knock him off. So
you also have to go back to Fulvio Favero.
Right, that's right. But our question is purely, the two of them are each one of them wants to acquire it, But one of them used a method where he's moving the whole animal, and the other one just happened to grab onto the bridle. So, Rav Avram had a point that if somebody's mazik you, if in other words, if he punches the guy in the nose, so then you could, that's damages. Okay, but our question is, we're trying to understand the guy that grabs the bridle but doesn't move anything. Exactly how does he acquire it? So the Gemara is like trying to finesse the case. So maybe the guy who moves the donkey, you're moving the donkey and the equipment, and the other guy just gets what's in his hand. So we're right in the middle of the page. When you pick up something for him, that works. That would only work if you're doing it for him. The guy that's making the donkey move together with the equipment, he doesn't want to let the other guy get any of it. So, the Gemara said, well, if the guy who's holding the bridle doesn't get it, is he going to get it for the other guy? So, the guy gets the donkey and the part that he holds. And the other guy gets exactly what's in his hand. And the whatever else is not moved, neither one gets. So again, here you'd have to know what is it on the ground? Is it attached? What counts? What doesn't count? Apparently there's a value to the bridle or the various equipment which is on the donkey. And the question is, who acquires that? Rav Avoh has a different explanation. He says, Olam, let's leave it as it says. The guy on the back of the donkey acquires the full bridle. He's not holding it. Because he could pull the strings. He could grab it and pull it. It's within his power to...
He has control.
He could have control. Yeah. But this opinion doesn't withstand scrutiny. This is a brusa from the same word as brisa. This is an outside opinion. This isn't accepted. And actually on the right, he says badusa. It's a mistake. The two different, the resh and the dalet in the way it's written are very easily interchanged, depending on whether it's more rounded or more square. Barusa, badusa, it's a mistake. Why di lo temach, if that's not true? So let's go back to the talis, where half of it's on the ground, v'chetza agabi, and the other half's on the pillar, and one guy picks up half of it from the ground, ubo achra, and the other guy picks up half from the pillar. Halchanami de kamikona, do you want to say only the first guy gets it and not the second guy? Why? Because when the first guy got it, he could have given it a yank. But Yochel not of Etzo. The question here is, even if you don't pick it up, but you could yank it, does that mean you have enough control to acquire it? Because in effect, that's what we started to say here with the animal, that you could have given it a tug and gotten control over it, but you didn't. That's the question. So Elahide, but the Gemara says, you're right. This Rav Avoh is an outside opinion, a brusi. Tashma. But we never solved our original question, which is the riding of the horse. We just jumped into another question. What about acquiring the bridle? And what if someone else has his hands on the bridle? How would that work? So, Tashma, Rebbe Lozer, Omar, Rocha Besada. He says, riding is it works well in the field. Umanig, be'ir, and leading works in a city. Let's see the Rashi, four lines from the bottom. Rocha Besada, Behema Shel Metzia. If you find a wild animal in the field and you jump on it, you acquire it, but not in a city. And we're going to explain it soon. Umanig af ir, but leading it all works in the city and certainly in the field. So, but you see that riding works. It just depends on if it's it shows ownership. I suppose in the city, most of the animals are already owned, and you know, just jumping on the back won't do the trick, or it's not a normal way to do it. But in the field, yeah, wild animal, you jump on it, that'll show. But manig beir, hachanami manig. So what do we see though? Riding works. We just said that. What about the opinion says that riding doesn't work? So Gemara says hachanami b'manig beraglov. But he's not just riding it. Maybe he's also leading it. We really need to have a case where we knew for a fact that he wasn't doing the foot thing. So it's difficult. So we're having a hard time proving if a guy just happened to, you know, sit on the horse. Right. Because maybe he said, you know, he gave it a kick and said, "Getty up, pony." You know, how do we know he didn't do the, you know, lead it with his foot?
There's no shilah. If he, if, if he's just sitting on the horse, right? The guy that's leading it for sure owns it.
Correct.
Is that what we're saying?
Yeah, that's what it's saying. But our well, one opinion. There was an opinion that riding also shows ownership. So the question is, riding without leading it at all, without doing the foot thing, to be proactive in trying right. to get it where it's going, does that show ownership or not? And that's really been the question of the whole page today so far, and we're not getting anywhere. Well, as far as proof. So the Mora says, well, if you're telling me that he's also doing leading, so then what's it teaching us? So the Mora says, there's two kinds of leading. So if really it works, why won't it work in the city? People don't usually gallop in the city. It's just not, there's not enough space. It's not, this guy's, it's, you don't show you're the boss, you just show you're a nut. You know, who's galloping a horse? It's just not done. What about if a guy picks up a wallet on Shabbos? Who picks up wallets on Shabbos? Do you mean to tell me it doesn't work because it's not normal? What are we making? We're making fun of this guy because he's galloping. I mean, imagine you're downtown and a guy's jumping on a horse. You know, who's going to say that's like not a normal? But on Shabbos, to pick up a wallet's not normal, but it still works. Do we look at the timing and whether it's normal, or do we look at did you pick it up? So that's the question. It's more as to Elamite of it of the Kona. By the wallet, we say whatever he did, it works. Hakanami might of it Kona. So this would seem to be a proof that riding works. Gemara says, Ella, we're not even talking about riding. But mechakul memkar askinin, we're talking about somebody bought it. Not that it's, by the way, Rashi says, ain't dark and mishum snuaso, because of modesty. I don't know, is it not modest to ride the horse? Is it because you're, is it more like brazen? I don't know, but it's interesting. They had horses in Rashi's time, but he was saying, like, you know, to ride in the city, is it that, I don't know exactly. I think, like, a person, he's got to spread his legs, and he's got to, you know, I don't know what it is, but okay. But it was back to the Gemara. So we're talking about buying and selling. And the seller says, okay, take it for a ride, or, you know, do what's normal. Back as we turn the page. But if you're in on the highway, then it works. The Adam Chashiv, and if you're an Adam Chashiv, apparently, like, he wouldn't normally lead an animal, but he would sit on it, then it works. The Isha, or a woman, also a woman would ride side saddle, whatever, it would work. The Ian is Zila, and what about if he's a,
those last two cases are, they're not engaged in steering the animal, right?
Yeah, yeah, our question is, according to the view that riding works, what's wrong with riding in a city? And so we're saying for certain people it may be normal, or it would express ownership. It explains why they didn't lead it, they just rode it. What about if it's a person who's a Zila? You know, a person doesn't want to be a Zila. It means a person who's not really modest, doesn't mind riding in front of anybody. So then it would work for him also. Let's do that. Rashi, E in his Zila, it's to the left side. In his zila, if he's a cheap guy, he's uncultured. Shadarko lirko v'nei kol, he'll ride in front of everybody. Af below doichik, even without shlefi shein and tznua, he has modesty, doesn't speak to him. Avo anem beinani, but your average guy sheinu chashu, he's not necessarily wealthy. Beinu bo shlok beivaraglav, and he's not afraid to lead it with his feet. Ein darko lirko. Then it wouldn't be normal for him to ride because of modesty. I guess there were certain stations. Certain people would just not be normal for them to be riding. It's almost like, you know, like a motorcycle I don't know. It's just hard to imagine a certain kind of person, you know, hopping on a horse and, riding in that way. Okay, back to the Gemara. Boy, Rebbe Eliezer, three lines from the top. Ha'omer l'chavera Moshe behemazu liknis kem sha'olaha. What about if the animal comes with a load? There's a donkey and it's got all the bags of all the goods on it. So can you say to him, pull the donkey to acquire all the goods on the back? So ma'u mi mahani shikur de behemer l'knu yekeli molo. So all right, you can acquire an animal by pulling it and leading it. Does that work for the expensive cargo on top of the animal? Do you usually you have to pick that stuff up. But if it's on the back of the animal, do we say by pulling the animal you acquire the goods? So Amar Rav, Iyo Amar Le Koni Behema V'Koni Kelim. Rav has a problem here. If you say to a person, acquire the animal and acquire the vessels, Chotzim Ha'alachasi, it's a moving target. V'Chotzim Ha'alachas Lo Kona. When something's moving, you can't acquire it. It's moving along. So we typically don't allow you to make a kinyan there. V'Kitema, but maybe you want to say it stopped. If when it moves you don't acquire, Omer v'Yosha, when it stops also you wouldn't get it. V'Hilchasa, it would work, but Kaposo, if it's tied up.
Tied up on top of the donkey? Or the kalim are tied up together?
Let's see.
My assumption is the donkey's tied up and therefore it can't move.
Oh, so it's parked.
Your son, it sounds just like the case of the slave. We always say that if a slave is tied up, this is like consider, you know.
So how does he move it if it's tied up? He schleps it or? If the animal, he says, pull the animal, and the animal is tied.
It's like, remember Bonanza, they had that little bar, and they wrapped the strap around
it. I don't remember. I remember Bonanza, but...
Pigeon pose, there we go, that's it, yeah. Uh-huh. They strapped the thing up.
He's bringing down Rashi that as soon as the animal stops moving is when he acquires it. Not necessarily that he's fixed to the ground. The animal's just not moving.
So what's tied exactly? Is the animal... It's tied to the hitching post.
Looks like the animal's tied up, so it doesn't look like the animal's is acquired.
He wants to acquire the stuff on the animal, and the problem is the animal is moving. You don't usually acquire things that are moving. It's called what's called a chatzim halachas. So we're saying that it's when it's tied. Okay.
It's not moving.
Omer Papa of Rav Huna Braid Rishua Larava, if you're telling me you got a problem...
It's a das yochid situation. Rabbi Lazar is like one opinion here. He's just saying that in his case, he's wondering if you could do mashicha if the animal is tied up, and he's saying that you could.
So we're just trying to figure out the actual, you're pulling a tied animal. Is that what's happening?
That's a contra, that's what
he's saying. Right. So how does that work, though? If the animal's tied up, how do you pull it? That's all we're wondering.
No, because the animal doesn't have the capacity, isn't able to move on its own. There's no, the animal is under your control. He doesn't have the capacity to travel. Since he can't move, you are demonstrating mastery over the utensils.
But how do you move it if he can't move? That's what I'm trying to guess, if that's what he's talking about over here or not. But yeah, I hear that. So, but the Gemara, though, brought up an interesting question. This idea that you can't acquire moving targets, El Mata, what if you're in a boat? The kufsu dug him, and the fish decide to jump in and fall into your boat. That's an expression. I guess sometimes the water overflows the boat, and the fish that were in that water are stuck on the boat. I've heard about like people that are, you know, that are stuck at sea, where that sometimes happens, where the water overflows and they get access to a fish. So do you mean to say the bechatzim alachasi v'lo kona, those wouldn't be considered yours? Amar le sfina meinich naich. Actually, the boat isn't moving. The water's moving. The matile. Yeah. Omer le'ravina ravashi amata isa malachas b'shusa rabin. So let's say you're walking in the public area. So we had this before back in Gittin, that a person didn't want to get too close to his wife, who's soon to be ex, because she's not happy about getting the divorce. So he sees her walking by, and he makes a paper airplane out of the get and tosses it into her bag. So Vizorgla get this okay, Kolosokilsa. So do you mean to tell me it's not good because she's moving? I thought that worked. As long as you're a good shot and it ends up in her bag, right? Or within her Dalinavas. So Omale Kilsa Mainikmay. That her bag is not moving. The Ihu de Kamaski Mito, she's moving underneath it. The bag is sitting still and she's moving. So it ends up being interesting how you define moving, which part of the part that's doing the moving doesn't work. But if something is still on top, then that's not considered moving as far as Kenyan goes. So that's kind of just a new discussion that we've had in the end here, this idea that when something's in play, it's not acquiring it because it's not sitting still. But if the bath, if her bag is there, so she might be moving, but her bag isn't going anywhere. It's attached to her, so you can toss the get into her bag. New Mishnah. Hayorokev agabi behem. A person's riding on his animal over Asamitsiya, and he sees something way down there on the ground that's very valuable. And he would love to pick it up. He sees a 20. He would love to pick it up and get it. So he tells his buddy, can you hand me that? Tanuli, give it to me. Nutla, the guy says, whoa, you found that? You see that? V'omar aniza kisibo. I'm getting it for myself. Why should I give it to you? So zochabo. That's he got it, because he picked it up. On the other hand, if he picks it up and hands it to him, and he says, aniza kisibo tchila, even though I gave it to you, I acquired it for myself, lo omar klum. That doesn't help. In other words, once you gave it to him, so you can't say you really meant it for you. Let's take a look at Rashi. It's a little bit complicated. Why not? I mean, why isn't it the case that you acquired it and he asked you to give it to him? Yeah, I gave it to you, but I just want to let you know I had in mind when I picked it up that I should get to keep it, right? So we're saying lo omar klum. It's not effective. Why not? So let's see Rashi. Lo omar klum. Even if you say it doesn't help that which you picked it up for him, once you give it to him, he's going to acquire it either way. If the first guy got it because he didn't pick it up for the other guy, picked it up for himself. Because he gave it to the guy standing on the horse. So even if you want to say that he picked it up for himself, once you hand it to him, that's giving it over. And if the first guy didn't get it, he didn't acquire it, so then it's hefker until the second guy gets it. So what if the first guy had no idea what that was? The guy up there says, can you hand me that? And the guy doesn't realize that he could get it for himself. So it doesn't really make a difference if he hands it to the other guy, he handed it to him. You can't speak up later and say, oh, well, even if you say I had in mind to acquire it, that's fine, but then you gave it to me. Yeah.
Just building on what you just said, the guy picked it up, says that he acquired it for himself, and when he hands it to the other guy, he's just showing it to him. He acquired the thing himself. He said, here, take a look at what I found. And he gives it. That doesn't mean that he's giving up his find and that he's giving it over.
So Rashi seemed to say that even if the first guy got it, once he hands it to the other guy, that's like a matana. So you're asking, hayayiv nahale b'matana. So you're asking on Rashi, what do you mean? What if he tells us I wasn't giving it to you as a gift? I was just showing it to you. So I don't know. I don't know.
We have like every year with Lulav and Nesra.
We look at actions. If you hand something to somebody, and then later on, so that's giving him a gift. Later on, you say, I was just kidding. I was just showing you my thing. I didn't mean to hand it to you to acquire it. Would that work?
So what I was saying, think about what we do every year with the Lulav and Nesra. Person says, can I use your esrog? And your intention is you're going to let the guy make the bracha, he's going to give it back to you. He says, okay, thank you. You just gave it to me. It's mine.
Right.
So you didn't give it.
There's an understanding there that you want it back because you got another day of Sukkot that you still.
You understand. You found this thing, this diamond on the ground. You picked it up. Hey, guy, Sam, take a look what I found. Ha ha, I saw it first. No, what are you talking about? I picked it up. I made a mashiach. It's now mine. I was just showing it to you.
So the Mishnah sounds like that you have to say that before you give it. That if he says, I got it, sorry, you know, you wanted me to give it to you, I have to tell you the truth, I got it. So then, but if he doesn't speak up, apparently.
So you're implying then that the Esrog case is not similar then? Because in the Esrog case, no one says anything. It's understood.
It's understood, the Esrog case. Yeah, I think so.
And the Esrog could be worth, you know, like $100.
Correct. It's worth. It does have a value to it. Let's see the Gemara. So that's the subject we're beginning to discuss. It's interesting. When you ask someone else to do something for you, can you assume they do what you want? They're an independent person. Or maybe they're thinking, you know, why should I pick it up for him? I'll pick it up for myself. So Tanan Hasam, the Gemara has a similar case. Mi shalikin sepeya. Somebody, there's food in a field, and it was left for the poor. And you have a poor guy who you know isn't here right now. So you go and you pick that peya, and you want to say acquire it for somebody else. Tareze le ploni ani. I'm picking it for ploni who's poor. But Elazar says, sounds good to me. You acquired it for him. Acham, they say no. That doesn't you. The person picking it is not the poor guy. He's a rich guy. He's not eligible to get the gifts to the poor. But can he pick it up for the other poor guy? So Rebbe Elazar says, yeah, Chaim is saying no. Yitnu anenimsa rishon, first come, first serve. And you're not a poor person, you can't get it. So what's the argument here? What are they arguing? Omer ulam rishu v'lei machlokas me ashalani. The debate is where the first guy who picked it up was wealthy or at least too wealthy to receive the alms to the poor. Rebbe Elazar savor, migidi boy mafker nakse. So he holds that even though he's rich, You can unrich yourself. You can very easily spend your money and no longer have money. So since he could, you know, give it all away and he'd be poor and then he'd be eligible, hashtenami chazile. In other words, intrinsically, in theory, there would be a way that he could acquire it. So since he could acquire it, you need somebody who could have been eligible for it. If there's a way he could be eligible, then he could pick it be a shliach for somebody else. For Rabbanan, they say, chad migu amrinin. We could go one way, trade migu, but say two migus lo amrinin. This is two migus. Number one is that you could become poor, and number two, since you could acquire it for yourself, you could acquire it for him. That's a double dipping. That's too far. But if one poor guy picks it up for another poor guy, then that for sure works. Since you could pick it up for yourself, you could get it for the other guy. So it comes out we're having an argument here where the rich guy picks it up for another poor guy, whether he's eligible. And again, you'd have to say two migus. Number one, since he himself is eligible to pick it up, in theory, because he could be poor. And number two, even though the poor guy isn't picking it up, but since I could get it for myself, I'll get it for him.
He can't be a shliach for the poor guy. They're not talking about that.
Well, in order to be a shliach, you have to be eligible to do it for yourself.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And so, Omer le Reb Nachman le'ula v'lema mar me'anil ani machlokas. Why don't you say that they could argue even from one poor guy to another, d'hametzia ha'kol aniyim etzlo. When it comes to a lost object, that's fair game for anybody. Everybody's, you know, when it comes to paya, there's an income, you know, only a poor guy can pick paya. But when it comes to a metzia, anybody's equal. But tanan, and we learned that rocha v'gabe v'hem rosa metzia, and you see, give it to me, v'ama nizga with kila. So we'll have to take this tomorrow, what we want to prove from our case of the metzia. Have a great day, great Shabbos, everybody.